Okay, pray again. It seems to regular happen that someone in a significant and very respectable leadership position in some religious organization, including ISKCON, is then exposed as an abuser of some kind, or as having some very weird habits that do not really befit a holy person. And then, of course, some who had very much respect for that person, being disciples or whatever, find themselves in a dilemma, because on one hand you're supposed to be completely faithful to your guru and all that, accepting him as faultless, and on the other hand there's, well, another reality there presented by other people, maybe many, maybe the whole movement that he was serving in. So, yeah, I mean, sorry if you find yourself in such a situation. You make your choice, but then I heard someone say this, that, well, you know, he might have done obnoxious, terrible things, abominable actions, but he's chanting so many rounds and his beads, and he's going to all the temple programs, and he's following all of this and following the that, which makes me think, does someone claim that it is those activities in themselves that make one a holy person, a sadhu? Or is it the qualities that you are supposed to develop when you follow all those sadhana, all those practices? Not the practices in themselves. Just as someone may think that if someone who wears devotional clothes, as I say, is more a devotee than others, and they judge people based on such, I mean, superficiality, which it really is. Clothes are not devotional, people are. Well, I mean, since the discussion was about things that a certain person did in a certain school. Religious school. And another teacher in that school, a lady, she wrote something interesting, saying that this man used to say, and these are her words, I'm just paraphrasing basically, that this man who was the headmaster of the school and that were known for acting abusively towards children, students, that he said, well, you know, when you go to the morning programs and you follow the whole morning program, then you are purified. Then you are on the pure platform. Meaning, well, then you are, you know, pure devotee or whatever. Then you may do activities during the day later that are not so nice, even abominable, which will make you impure. But the next morning when you go to the morning program, then you become pure again. So, well, this was the reason actually going on in that man's mind. Well, then I really must say I admire the workings of Maya. I mean, this is the one of the offenses against the holy name. Commit sinful activities, and the strength of the whole name. And then there is this example of the elephants who clean themselves in the lake and then they roll in the mud again. And of course, something that we used to joke about, that people in other religions sometimes did. The priests, they go to church and do their services, you call it, and then they go home and do all kinds of activities again. And they think that, well, you know, Jesus Christ is so especially merciful that he will forgive us just because we believe in him, and therefore we can go on like this. It's no problem. Well, do you see how easily it kind of creeps on you, this kind of rationalizations? And, well, we sometimes speak about, I don't know if I can hear myself, we sometimes speak about sahajas, those who take it easy. They generally, I guess, they use the spiritual teachings or society or path for rationalizing their own materialistic life or something. How it can creep in, even among people who supposed to be, and most probably think themselves to be, highly elevated, very learned and brahminical and all of that. And well, I think I can understand that too, because it often, at least, boils down to very strong and very base desires and instincts, such as, of course, sex desire. Seems that's the first one you can rationalize any way you want. And the interesting thing then is that when among monks you have teachings there that you should completely abstain from sex desire, or from sex, you should abstain from any contact with women. Celibacy is the name of the game. So there you are. Yep, no women. But oops. Here that desire appears again, and oops, it is pretty strong. And look. And it's very simple and practical. A little thing there between the legs won't relax. Demands gratification and satisfaction. And one of the teachers there in that school, a lady who seemed to know what she was talking, she's talking about, said that it's not that even though homosexual activities are going on, that all those people are necessarily homosexuals. I guess they basically need some comfortable place to put their genitals in to satisfy that strong desire, which really doesn't leave them. And then it seems like that in India, maybe especially in India, the whole culture around this has become so acceptant of that going on, rationalizing away into just, well, something that happens. And then, you know, if that's something that happens also happens to be done by the teacher or the headmaster, what's the big deal? You see how it seems like, according to that teacher, that's the kind of reasoning that had entered there, some people's minds there. I've been interested in what is it? How do they reason? How do they explain this to themselves, and pacify their own conscience and so on, without just seeing themselves as hypocrites. Well, that's how the human mind works, because things like sex desire, these base instincts and impulses and all that, they kind of go beyond the mind. You can be very smart and knowledgeable in a lot of philosophical intricacies and difficult mantras and whatever, and rituals, and it can be mumbling mantras hours and hours and hours every day. But maybe you should have just been married and accepted the facts that, well, you also have that sex desire, and that those women that you may even despise are maybe the most natural and dharmic, shastric way to deal with it, rather than just inventing your own little logic there. Which, you know, people who are very much in their intelligence and brains and minds and all that are pretty good at doing, even to the point of fooling themselves. And we should not believe or think that you are above that just because you're smart or whatever. Things here are much more subtle, and there are powers involved that are just much more, well, difficult to deal with than we may think.